Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Even though it seems like Christmas is over, here in the church, the Christmas season doesn't end until next Thursday, which is the festival of the Epiphany. Epiphany, of course, celebrates the coming of the Magi, who came with gifts to honor the newborn king. I noticed that the camels are here, but the Magi aren't, so maybe they're in the house with Jesus. I don't know. By the way, just one other quick thing. Since this is the end of the Christmas season, I'd invite you at the end of the service if you'd like to take a poinsettia or something home with you. Otherwise, we just really don't have anything for that year. So you can take them home, enjoy them. And take them home. So Epiphany. Most people, I don't think, know that the 12 days of Christmas is actually based on the tradition of observing those days between Christmas and Epiphany. The tradition is that people would give a small gift each day of those 12 days. Now, in that song, there are all kinds of strange gifts that are given, and actually rather extravagant. There's a group that every year updates how much this would cost if you were actually to give these gifts to the folks. It went up a little bit this year, inflation. But in today's dollars, it's estimated that those daily gifts would total almost $180,000. So that guy was pretty generous. I actually had a classmate at seminary who observed this tradition, not with all those kind of gifts, but observed that tradition of giving a small gift to his children throughout those 12 days of Christmas. I wonder how the kids felt, knowing that they could look forward to Christmas presents every day for almost 2 weeks after their friends were all done opening theirs. Giving and receiving gifts, presents, are a huge part of our Christmas celebration. But what if we didn't get any presents? Would it still be Christmas? We'd all say, yeah, sure. You know, Christmas without presents? Let's be honest. We'd all be more than a little disappointed, I think, to find the presents under the tree. So, in kind of a real way, it's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it? Kind of a real way. Kind of a real way, Christmas and presents are inseparable, at least in our culture. But the true presents we receive, and the presence that we celebrate every Christmas, and every Sunday, actually, is much different. This presence is the gift of God himself. The God who became really present is the person in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what Isaiah meant as he spoke of the Messiah as Emmanuel. Of course, I think you probably all know that the Hebrew word for Emmanuel simply means God with us. In Christ, God is present with us, among us. So if that's the case, doesn't it seem just a little strange that all of the holiday cheer seems to evaporate so quickly? Soon, all of those who were so concerned about making the world a better place before Christmas will get back to contributing to the world's problems. And all those who would shout with Tiny Tim, "God bless us, everyone," may well curse God in the same breath. And even we, who know the true meaning of God's presence, can misunderstand and even forget what that really means. You know, that's one of the reasons why we observe the 4 weeks of Advent. In Advent, we don't just prepare as the world prepares with shopping and cooking, hurry and scurry. Those 4 weeks before Christmas are intended to be a time of reflecting on why Christmas was necessary in the first place. Christmas is about God coming in the flesh to bring us the forgiveness of sins through his own death and resurrection. What if God really came down at Christmas? And I don't mean that he wasn't born as a baby in Bethlehem, but what if he came again? What if God's real presence were here and the end of time had finally arrived? Would we be ready for that moment? How would we react if that would actually happen? How important would all the presents that we received that year, that we've seen as we stood and prayed to God? Some would probably be disappointed that Christ came today, all the new toys and clothes and no time to enjoy them anymore. Some, hopefully all of us here today, would be overjoyed. You know, for many, holidays are a sad reminder of the loneliness of life, problems, worries, tensions, fear. And who wouldn't be overjoyed to be delivered from all of that? Now, all of us, I suspect, if Jesus were to come back in this moment, would be, well, more than a little surprised. While we know that that day is coming, I believe Jesus' physical return is going to be the most shocking and, in many ways, the most frightening event in history. We want God to be with us, but it's difficult, if not impossible, to conceive of the appearance of the true and almighty God of the universe standing among us. And that was, in fact, Ahaz's problem in our Old Testament. He wanted God to be with him, but only on his own terms. The kingdom of Judah was about to be invaded, and Ahaz was rightly concerned. But instead of turning to God and his great promises of comfort and security and peace, Ahaz took matters into his own hands. See, God was nice to have around, at least in theory, but to surrender complete control and completely trust God to protect him, well, that's where Ahaz had some serious problems. Ahaz knew there was a God. He knew all the stories of the history of his people. But he also had some real enemies threatening him in that moment. So admitting God exists, but not entrusting all things to his care, shows the truth of Isaiah's words when he said, "This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Ahaz refused to turn to God in faith and trust. In fact, he demonstrated that he really didn't want any Christmas presents. His approach said, "I'm in control here. After all, God helps those who help themselves." Now, all people, Ahaz should have known better. He was a son of the house of David. He was the king. You know, it's good to be king. But sometimes knowing gets in the way of needing. Sometimes power gets in the way of God's promise. Sometimes even we who know better forget that this is God's story. History is his story, and it's his salvation. So God sent Isaiah to the king to challenge him to, by faith, trust in God's presence. But Ahaz already had it all figured out. He'd already made a deal with the king of Assyria. Along with the king of Assyria came also God of Assyria. And ultimately, Ahaz's confidence in the ways of the world wrecked his relationship with God. When Isaiah came to Ahaz, in essence he said, "Ask for a sign if that's what you need to turn back to God." And Ahaz refused, piously saying he wouldn't test God. But God wouldn't let him off so easily. God would have his way with Ahaz, whether he wanted God with him or not. Because that's kind of the way God does it. You know, we tend to think of the presence of God, especially during the Christmas season, that is always and only something wonderful and joyful and peaceful. But the presence of a holy God in the midst of a world of sinful people should be judgment, not joy. The presence of God in the absence of faith means punishment, not salvation. Isaiah knew all about that. In chapter 6 of the book that bears his name, he tells of a vision in which he was transported to the very throne room of God. All he could say was, "Woe is me, for I am lost." Isaiah knew that sinful man cannot stand in the presence of God, and that the message of God's real presence could and should be one of judgment and punishment. But what kind of a Christmas message is that? And what happened? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Isn't that why we need Jesus? To deal with judgment and sin? See, it was there and there alone is the real essence of Christmas presents. God gave the gift of himself, his own Son, a Savior to bear our punishment, to receive our judgment, to die for our sins. And that's the message that Isaiah proclaims to Ahaz and to you and to me. Advent, Christmas, and every time we come before God is an opportunity to consider the effects of sin in our lives. The trouble caused when we forget God. The trouble caused by taking him for granted. The trouble made worse by our failure to look at ourselves and admit our sin. But when we admit our need for God's presence, we can know because of Jesus that he doesn't come to judge and punish us. He comes to save us. That's Christmas presence. God's Christmas presence. The best gift that we receive. God's Christmas present is the forgiveness of sin and new life in Christ. That crib at Christmas leads to the Christ child and us to the cross of Calvary. And he who came forth from Mary's womb would also come forth victorious from Joseph's tomb. He gives you and to me a newness of life day and every day. It's true that it's always a bit of a letdown when Christmas has come and gone. All preparations, shopping, the buying, the hustle, the bustle, and then Christmas comes, and the tree, and the gifts, and the church, and the family, and the food, and the fun. All it's over so soon. Wouldn't it be great if we could carry the joy of that season into every day? We can. We can when we remember that even though we fail to love those around us, even as we realize that the world isn't changed by human wishes of goodwill, even as we continue to face the problems of a sin-sick world, as well as the troubles of our own sinful lives, even when all of that happens, all of that reminds us, that daily reminder of sin's presence, we can still have peace and joy as we trust in God who is always present with us. So even if you should come today, this very day, or if we should live another year to celebrate another Christmas with presents again, no matter what, we have peace with God because of his undeserved grace and mercy, the gift of his daily presence with us because of Jesus. The worldly wishes of peace and goodwill may be gone for another year, but let's be sure to hold on to God's true Christmas presence, a gift of grace, a gift of forgiveness, life, peace, a lasting and eternal presence that's with us every day to comfort us, guide us, and to lead us. For Christ our Savior is born. God's Christmas presence to us. The very best gift we receive. Amen. Mm-hmm.